Welcome to Local Motion on KVNF, our weekly public affairs program. I'm Jody Peterson, and this week we're talking about electricity, specifically about how our local electrical cooperatives are trying to bring less expensive power to their Western Colorado customers and increase their use of renewable sources like wind and hydropower. If you're listening to this program somewhere in Western Colorado, you most likely get your power from a rural electrical cooperative. Such co-ops are nonprofits, owned and controlled by the residents who use the services they provide. In the KVNF listening area, the Delta Montrose Electric Association, DMEA, and the San Miguel Power Association, SMPA, provide power for homes and businesses. These two cooperatives get almost all of their electricity from a wholesale supplier, Tri-State Generation and Transmission Association. Tri-State serves 43 power cooperatives in Colorado, New Mexico, Wyoming, and Nebraska. About two-thirds of Tri-State's power supply comes from fossil fuels, coal and natural gas, and about one-third from solar, wind, and hydropower. Here's Tony Prendergast, who has been on the DMEA Board of Directors since 2007, talking about the big picture of electricity generation and the increasing role of renewable energy and distributed generation, such as solar panels on rooftops. DMEA serves about 28,000 residents in Montrose, Delta, and Gunnison counties.
So, significant changes, especially when you look at it over like the last 10 years or so, where coal was a primary source of generation fuel some many years ago. It's definitely moving a lot more towards renewables, wind and solar in particular. Hydro is a smaller part of that, but still significant. And it's amazing how the prices on wind and solar have just plummeted in recent years. And also the technology to integrate them into the grid has just also increased and gotten a lot more sophisticated. So they've become much more reliable as sources of energy, which is almost a surprise how quickly that happened and will continue to happen almost certainly. And as far as them being a much more valid energy source 24/7.
Can you talk a little bit about what has made coal less appealing as an energy source? Why we're transitioning away from that?
Yeah, so the bottom line of it is economics. It's out of the money anymore. And that is another surprise, really, how quickly that happened. But then far beyond that is just the appetite of consumers to have and, you know, be participants in a cleaner energy source and a cleaner energy economy. So that drives it as well.
And Governor Polis has made reducing carbon dioxide emissions a priority to start addressing climate change. There's some legislation being considered that would require firm goals in reducing carbon pollution, and if that passes, it could definitely have an impact.
You bet. And, you know, looking back 4, 5, 6 years, I guess, the renewable energy standards that the state adopted at those times helped drive some of these changes, and then this political era will continue to drive them more, I'm sure.
Distributed generation is becoming more of a factor as well.
At DMEA, we have about 3.5 megawatts of power coming from people's rooftops, pretty much a little bit of hydro. And again, that's just been tremendous growth in the last 5 years or so, and more coming on all the time. So that's another significant development.
DMEA gets 95% of its power from the wholesaler Tri-State. Is Tri-State Generation and Transmission, G&T, keeping up with the changing energy landscape?
Tri-State for a G&T has more renewable portfolio than almost any other G&T in the country, but they were still moving more slowly. And a lot of that renewable that they claim is big old hydro, from big dams. They're moving, but it's been slow. And they just hired a new CEO who may help turn the ship a little faster than it had been turning. But they're locked into a lot of coal investments. And they have a lot of work to do and a long ways to go to kind of catch up with where a lot of the rest of the energy utilities are already moving.
And that was Tony Prendergast, a Delta Montrose Electric Association board member. I'm Jody Peterson, and you're listening to the Local Motion program on KVNF. We're talking about our local electrical co-ops and their efforts to get more renewable power on the grid. Under the contracts that the Wholesale Power Association Tri-State has with our local co-ops, Delta Montrose Electric Association and the San Miguel Power Association, the co-ops are restricted to getting no more than 5% of their power from local sources. And that ends up limiting how much renewable energy they can provide for their customers. DMEA says that the high prices charged by Tri-State for power have caused its rates to jump by more than 50% since 2005. And even though DMEA would like to shift to other energy providers who offer more affordable power, it cannot because of its contract with Tri-State. Nor can DMEA develop more local energy projects, again because of its contract. It's already hit the 5% cap that Tri-State puts on locally generated power. So, for the last decade, DMEA has been trying to withdraw from membership in Tri-State so that it can pursue less expensive sources of energy, including more renewable power, and so that it can develop local projects like solar arrays and small hydropower. For the same reasons, San Miguel Power Association is also looking at its power generation options, including withdrawing from Tri-State. Tony Prendergast, a DMEA board member, explains more about the co-op's effort to withdraw from membership in Tri-State.
Yeah, it's just flat-out economics. There's cheaper wholesale power available, actually significantly cheaper. And going forward, it looks like it would be getting cheaper. And also the big factor for us is the opportunity to develop more of the local resources we have and the flexibility to do that, which we can't do right now under Tri-State.
Yeah, because basically under Tri-State, you're not allowed to generate more than 5% of power from local sources.
Exactly, yeah. And again, that may change at some point in the future, but it's just been a very long, slow, frustrating process. In the last 12 years, we've made zero progress, really, with Tri-State trying to get that flexibility to develop more local resources. And we've just been stymied at every turn, and we just are ready to try something different.
Yeah, Tri-State keeps saying that they're going to provide more flexibility and that the member co-ops have voted to allow some changes in the way that contracts are written so that there might be partial power purchases.
And that's a positive step that Tri-State's taken. It's just the very first little baby step, I would say, and there's a lot to be done to put the policy framework into place that actually can allow some of those changes to happen.
But the intent of DMEA is to shift more and more of its power sources to renewable sources.
Yeah, we would like to do that. And basically, a lot of the renewable sources are actually more economical today. Battery technologies is, you know, not fully mature yet, and the economics of it aren't completely there yet, but it's a very promising. I'm quite convinced that the future of electricity will be a lot about batteries, but we're not quite there yet.
So for the next maybe few years, it's still important to have some fossil fuel sources as a backup?
There's a transition that needs to happen. And actually the main fossil fuel really that is bridging that gap is gas. It's easier to integrate with the renewables just because you can ramp it up and down. It's a really exciting time for DMEA members and the future of our area. I think that better energy prices can definitely be an economic driver. And also just the opportunity to develop more of our local resources, which are significant. We're in an energy-rich area. So there's a lot of opportunity and possibilities that I'm very excited about.
Delta Montrose Electric Association wouldn't be the first co-op to walk away from Tri-State. 3 years ago, Kit Carson Electric Cooperative in New Mexico withdrew from membership in Tri-State and paid $37 million to do so. But Tri-State wants to charge DMEA an exit fee that's several times higher than that. The exact amount is confidential. DMEA says that's too much and has asked the Colorado Public Utilities Commission to determine what a fair fee would be. Tri-State filed a lawsuit against DMEA challenging the PUC's ability to set that fee, but it was dismissed in mid-April. The Public Utilities Commission's decision on the exit fee for DMEA is expected in June. Bill Patterson has been president of the board of DMEA since 2015. Next, you'll hear him talking about the major issues the co-op faces and its future plans. If you're just tuning in, this is Local Motion on KVNF, and I'm Jody Peterson.
For DMEA, it's basically there are two areas. One is the cost of our electricity is very high. Right now, we pay Tri-State about 8 cents per kilowatt hour. Plus, we have a demand fee on top of that. And on the market right now, that cost is about 4.5 cents. We can enter into a contract and actually buy out what we feel is a fair buyout and be paying 6.5 cents. So we could immediately have a significant reduction in our cost. So we will have a few costs above what we have now, but nothing compared to the price differential between what we pay Tri-State for our electricity now and what we think we'll have to pay in the future, and what the current market is for electricity and what we can do in the future for that market. Then beyond that, then, we really want the flexibility to be able to use our local resources. We have tremendous hydropower resources here, and we have tremendous solar resources here. At present, we are limited to 5% of our generation can in terms of our contract with Tri-State, and we have already exceeded that. In fact, we're paying penalty for exceeding our contract. And what we'd like is the flexibility to do more local generation, which really helps because that way then all the money, if you will, for our power stays here in the valley, not being sent over to Broomfield. And right now, we spend about $15 million per year out of this community that goes to Broomfield, to Tri-State, that if we were buying from the market, we could keep that money here and think about what we could do in terms of looking at local generation, helping people with their own problems in terms of power generation. And we look at it from the standpoint of how can we make it so that our members can have a good price. And we also are looking at how we can attract businesses here. And right now, our power cost is too high. The sawmill in Montrose is always complaining that at this location for them is the highest cost of power. And that is entirely because of the rates that Tri-State is charging us. And if we had a lower basic cost for our electricity, that would give us the opportunity to go out and attract other businesses to come here and offer good-paying jobs. And, of course, any of the power suppliers that we've been negotiating with will have whatever you want. You can get any type of mix of renewables and what you might call coal-generated power plant, and it really gets down to cost. But the real thing that's coming around is that the cost of renewables is actually less than the typical cost of coal-fired units. In other words, coal-fired units, at least in Tri-State, their cost is around 5.5 cents per kilowatt hour. And if you look at renewables, wind was getting down to 1.3 cents per kilowatt hour, and just straight solar was getting to about 1.7 cents per kilowatt hour, and that's over a 20-year payback period. And, of course, what we're waiting for is to watch and see what batteries do to all this, because the batteries are really the secret to the solar end of it, and really the wind end. Because when it's not generating, then the battery can provide the power. And then when it is generating, it can be filling the battery and getting it back up to charge.
Could you talk a little bit about why DMEA wants to end that contract with Tri-State and what the obstacles are there and what ending that contract would enable it to do?
We want to withdraw from the Tri-State co-op and basically be on our own. And we've been working on this for well over 10 years. We did not sign an extension. When Tri-State wanted all their co-ops to sign a 10-year extension, right now our contract with them expires in 2040. And we are the only one left with the 2040 expiration date. Every other co-op has a 2050 expiration date for their contract. And what we want to do is get out, and we felt that way quite a long time ago. I mean, Tri-State threatened that they would punish us, if you will, because we would not sign the contract. They wanted to build more coal-fired power plants, and DMEA did not agree with that. We felt that was not the right direction to go and that it would not be a good investment, and we would not be a part of that investment, and we aren't. What Tri-State is doing is they can buy on the open market far cheaper than they can produce it, and they can get renewables at a better pricing than the coal-fired generation power is. So from that standpoint, Tri-State's already moving that direction, but the problem of it is they're not allowing any of the individual co-ops any flexibility to do some of that locally. And that's really the key. We need to make it so that we, the co-ops, have the flexibility to generate our own power, to use our local resources. But in addition to that, we just do not see any way that Tri-State cost will go down. I mean, they need to lay off about 500 people in order to get their costs in line with other G&Ts, and that still would be high relative to what the current market price for electricity is.
The Tri-State Board recently passed a resolution to allow more flexibility in contracts with member co-ops, although it sounds like it will be a while before they define exactly what that might mean.
The board actually passed a resolution that said that they should look at changing their contract and having a what they call a partial retirements contract. In other words, make it so that there would be more flexibility at the local level. They have selected the members that are on that contract committee. You have to remember there's 43 different co-ops, so you have 43 members on a committee. Well, if you read down through there, it's a hand-picked committee of pro-Tri-State people that are on this committee. So our thinking is that nothing's going to change. We look at it that a fair and equitable solution would be that we would pay an amount that if every other co-op paid proportionally based on what they purchase in electricity, the same amount, that at the end, Tri-State would just be gone. All their debt would be gone, all their assets would be gone, everything would just disappear. Well, if we paid what Tri-State was saying they thought was a fair and equitable withdrawal, and every other co-op paid that same rate, Tri-State would end up with $8 billion. When everybody finally withdrew, there'd be $8 billion in the bank. According to the contract and according to the bylaws of Tri-State, we are entitled to a fair and equitable withdrawal. And we feel that since Tri-State will not give us what we consider to be a fair and equitable withdrawal, then the Public Utilities Commission should decide what that is. DMEA has submitted to the Public Utilities Commission what we think is a fair and equitable. That number is basically, when you take out all the capital credits and everything else, the net cost would be about $34 million.
If you do wind up getting a withdrawal from Tri-State and it costs $35 million or so, then how does that kind of pencil out economically?
Economically, you have to remember we're paying Tri-State now about $15 million per year. And that gives us quite a bit of money that we can put toward that $34 million. But we also have transmission assets that we have to buy, and that's, I think they're figuring that at about $30 million. And really, what we figure is that we'll keep our current rates steady so that we can pay this off. And what we'll do is that the lower the number is, the quicker we'll pay it off. And it'll be anywhere from 5 to 7 years, kind of depending on what that final buyout number is. So we're figuring conservatively, we could end up with a net power cost of around 6.5 cents. And that would include our debt reduction. And that's really what United Power has been saying, that they cannot compete in their market because the Tri-State power, their wholesale power cost, is 28% higher than what Xcel sells for.
And that was Bill Patterson, DMEA's board president. Next, we'll hear from Rube Felicelli, who has been president of the board of San Miguel Power Association for more than 7 years. SMPA serves 13,000 customers in portions of Montrose, San Miguel, Dolores, Mesa, San Juan, Hinsdale, and Ouray counties. Rube describes how SMPA has recently been stymied in its efforts to add more renewable power. SMPA hit its 5% cap for locally generated power under its contract with Tri-State, and so to continue making progress, it proposed a large solar energy facility under what's known as Policy 118 with Tri-State. But the project didn't come to fruition.
If you've reached your max of 5%, or even if you haven't, you can go to Tri-State and do a 118 project where Tri-State is essentially doing the project in your service territory. As an example, currently Ridgeway Dam is a hydro project which is generating 7 megawatts, and that was done under a 118 project with Tri-State.
Is SMPA contemplating doing more renewable projects through 118?
Yes and no. This gets to our resolution that we passed last year that we weren't going to pursue looking at alternatives to Tri-State at the time. And the reason for that was because we were looking at doing a 118 project out here. There were other projects that we were involved in Tri-State with, and we did not want to upset that apple cart at the time. And the last piece of the puzzle was a 118 project that we wanted to build out in our service territory, and we were talking about a 30-megawatt solar array. We've been working on it for a year and a half, and this winter we finally had to pull the plug on it because things were just not penciling out in terms of money to make this a viable operation.
What happened with the proposed solar project with Tri-State?
The developer came up with a price that they needed to make this work. Tri-State came to us and said, well, we can get a solar array built in the eastern plains of Colorado for less than that. And if you want this project to work, you're going to have to cover that difference between what the developer wants and what we feel we can get something built somewhere else. Because of economics, because of cheaper land usage, because of lower labor costs, various reasons. That was the problem, was trying to cover that difference. So as a result, our board has made a decision to once again pursue options to our power supply. We have obviously been in discussion with the EMA for what they're doing. We have spent a lot of time with Plata Electric to see what they're doing. We have a fiduciary responsibility to our members to look at all options, and that means if we can bring power to our members at a lower cost, and also if some of it's more renewables, then why wouldn't we do that? And that's what we're doing. The electric landscape is changing dramatically. So the state of Colorado is looking at passing a number of regulations. One will be a carbon cap, that carbon will have to be lowered from a 2005 level, and there's certain benchmarks that they have to hit. And there's also some other possible legislation that'll say X number of energy has to come renewable sources by these dates. So the fact is that Tri-State is going to have to meet these regulations. And we're going to have to meet these regulations. So renewable energy is coming down no matter what happens, whether it's with Tri-State or somebody else. So the big thing that we have to look at, and DMA obviously looked at, and La Plata is looking at, is, okay, if we can get energy at a lower rate, what's the rate? If we have to pay Tri-State an exit fee, what is that exit fee? Are we going to save enough money to cover what we have to pay for that exit fee? Can we just use Tri-State as a transmission company and then get our power from somebody else? Or do we get part of our power from Tri-State and part of our power from somebody else? But we're serious about looking at our options. We're not hiding anything from Tri-State. Duane Hiley, the new CEO, has frankly stated that you should look at your options, and Tri-State should be your best options in terms of price and renewables and things like that. You know, personally, myself, I'm very committed to reducing our dependency on fossil fuels. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at, and I think that's where the direction we're headed.
And that was Rube Felicelli, president of the board of San Miguel Power Association. Next, we'll hear from Lee Bowie, Tri-State's communications director, explaining his association's perspective on renewable energy and the role this big wholesaler plays.
Let's talk about renewable energy and the cooperatives across the West. Tri-State has been aggressively adding renewable energy resources to its portfolio since our first contracts were signed in 2009. Since then, we've added about 475 megawatts of wind, solar, and small hydropower projects to our portfolio. And in early 2019, we announced two additional projects. Those projects together will increase our wind and solar energy resources by another 45%.
Does Tri-State have a specific goal or a date set by which it intends to be carbon free?
We don't have a goal set just yet, but we're looking closely at what we may be able to do to get a better picture of what our roadmap looks like and how we'll move forward.
How much of Tri-State's generation is coming from coal at this point?
Last year, less than half of the energy that we utilized to provide power to our members came from coal. We are retiring two of our generating units in the coming years. The fossil fuel resources that we have continue to be important for our member system. A good example of that is the recent bomb cyclone that affected most of our system. During that weather event, renewables across the region were quite limited because of the weather conditions. And it was the fossil fuel resources across the West that help utilities get through that difficult period. Solar is definitely we'll call it a disruptive opportunity for the future. But the technologies are still evolving and the costs are coming down. We've seen solar prices come down by 85%. We've seen the forecast for renewable energy costs decreasing. Whether it's adding renewables or looking at storage, as a cooperative, we're going to make the best possible decisions that we can for our members and make sure that those decisions reflect and gain for them economic benefits and the lowest cost possible.
Let's talk a little bit about the recent vote to change subscription agreements by member utilities. What are the implications of that change?
Tri-State's members have been talking amongst themselves, as cooperatives do, and our board has had discussions about how we can provide more flexibility to our members as we move forward. Our industry is changing, and the needs of our members are changing, and it's important that Tri-State change as well and incorporate that flexibility into our future. So our board of directors passed a change to our bylaws at their April annual meeting that allows the board to consider alternative types of memberships and contracts, and that in the future could provide flexibility to our members, as well as provide opportunities for other entities that would like to take power from Tri-State.
Let's talk a little bit now about DMEA specifically. What is Tri-State's perspective on DMEA's request to withdraw from its contract?
The majority of our members believe that withdrawal decisions must be made by our board of directors and that the decisions that come with a member's withdrawal can directly affect all of our member systems. So we can't understate the importance of making sure that all of our members are treated equitably throughout this process. What's most important in that consideration is that all of the members of Tri-State come out of it whole, and that each member of Tri-State is protected from encumbering additional costs that would come from the potential withdrawal of a member.
For his part, Bill Patterson says that no matter what changes Tri-State is promising, the Delta Montrose Electric Association isn't going to give up on its push to leave Tri-State.
They may talk a lot, and all they'll do is just try and just keep stretching it out, and hopefully we'll go away from this interest. But we're not going to go away. We're going to stay in this fight.
This has been Local Motion for KVNF, and I'm Jody Peterson. Thanks for tuning in.